according to the Act, what is industry? Industry, according to Section 2J, means any business, trade, undertaking, manufacture or calling of employers, and includes any calling services, employment, handicraft or industrial, occupation or vocation of workmen. Section 3 defines what is a works committee. So as we have understood, you know, a general definition of works committee, it is a representation of management and employees in equal numbers to come together and negotiate on a given set of problems. But in case of any industrial establishment in which 100 or more workmen are employed or have been employed on any day in the preceding 12 months, the appropriate government may, by general or special order, require to the employer to form a works committee. So when we talk about works committee, it has to be formed in establishments wherein there are certain number of employees employed, that is 100 or more. That means minimum requirement of forming a works committee compulsory is 100. Voluntary, if a establishment wants to set up committees for resolving disputes internally, that is a different case. But when we talk about compulsion on organizations, establishments to form works committee, so wherever there are more than 100 or more workers working in an establishment has to make works committee, and that can be informed through general notification or special notification by the government to the employer. To constitute in the prescribed manner a works committee consisting of representatives of employers and workmen engaged in the establishment. So however, that the number of representatives of workmen on the committee shall not be less than number of representatives of the employer. So this point we have discussed, that equal number of representatives from management and employer will form this committee. The representatives of the workmen shall be chosen in the prescribed manner from among the workmen. That means there is also a provision made on selection of the representatives of employees. So how would they be selected or elected is being given the prescribed manner. They has to follow such rules and regulations for selection of such representatives engaged in the establishment and in consultation with their trade union. So if there is any trade union prevailing in that establishment, that should also be consulted. According to Section 4, conciliation officers. Now for the conciliation proceedings that we have spoken about, the third party intervene, wherein the third party will try to resolve the dispute between these two parties, a conciliation officer is being appointed. The appropriate government may, by notification in the official gazette, appoint such number of persons, but then here they have not defined the number of person, because this number of person may vary prevailing on different type of situations and need. As it thinks fit to be conciliation officers, charged with the duty of mediating between whom? Those party who are conflicting, the parties to the dispute, in and promoting the settlement of industrial disputes. So when we talk about settlement is voluntary in nature, which is arrived through negotiations. A conciliation officer may be appointed for a specified area for specified industries. Now when we talk about conciliation officer or officers, if the number is more, they are appointed for particular area and particular industries in that area. Now say for example, we talk about rural areas where there are less number of industries. So that may be appointed for the whole area irrespective of types of industries. In a specified area for one or more specified industries and either permanently or for a limited period. So now here the appointment is not permanent in nature. It may also be temporary in nature. Section 5 talks about boards of conciliation. Now, when we talk about conciliation proceedings, it may be, you know, through a conciliation officer. But then there is a board of conciliation. There is a hierarchy set up under this conciliation proceedings. The appropriate government may, as occasion arises, by notification in the official gazette, constitute a board of conciliation for promoting the settlement of an industrial dispute. The board shall consist of a chairman and two or four other members. Now, two or four other are situational in nature, as the appropriate government thinks fit. So there is one chairman. Under the chairman, there are two or four other members who are forming the board of conciliation. The chairman shall be an independent person, and the other member shall be person appointed in equal numbers to represent the parties to the dispute, and any person appointed to represent a party shall be appointed on the recommendation of that particular party. So here all those person who are appointed under the chairman will represent the parties to the dispute. The parties to the dispute are employer and employee. In case there may be another person appointed by the party itself, party means employer generally does this, or maybe the trade union does this, that means they appoint such a person who can be in a better position to negotiate or bargain. According to Section 6 of this Act, we talk about courts of inquiry. The appropriate government may, as occasion arise, by notification in the official gazette, constitute a court of inquiry for inquiring into any matter appearing to be connected with or relevant to an industrial dispute. So when we talk about court of inquiry, is set up to investigate the matter, the fairness and the without any biasness. A court having the prescribed quorum may act notwithstanding the absence of the chairman or any of its member or any vacancy in its number. So when we are talking about court of inquiry, so this basically works on quorum. Quorum is the majority. So here we, irrespective of any vacancy of the member, we allow the proceedings, even the chairman. In a court of inquiry, a court may consist of one independent person of such number of independent persons as the appropriate government may think fit. So it may be a single person, or it may be more than one person who acts independently as per the requirement, as per the situation, whatever the appropriate government thinks fit. And where a court consists of two or more members, one of them shall be appointed as a chairman. So here when we are talking about, say, number of persons appointed, so it may be two or it may be more. So in case if there is two, say for example there are only two, so one of them will be appointed as a chairman. Section 7 talks about labor courts. The appropriate government may, by notification in the official gazette, constitute one or more labor courts for the adjudication of industrial disputes. So as we have discussed that we try to settle disputes at the lower stage, or through conciliation proceedings, through negotiations, through bargainings. But at times the dispute goes to a next level, and wherein it goes to labor court. Now here when we talk about labor court, there may be one labor court in that particular area or region, or there may be several labor courts. Now this, the number of labor courts may depend upon the number of disputes happening in that particular industrial area, or it may be also considered on the number of industries in that area. So say for example, in an area there are less number of industries and very minimum number of disputes, then there may be only single labor court taking care of all the disputes. But then when the number increases, for the faster proceedings, we may require more number of labor courts. One or more labor court for the adjudication of industrial disputes relating to any matter specified in second schedule, and for performing such other functions as may be assigned to them under this Act. So all those duties, all those responsibilities, all those proceedings which needs to be taken care of labor court are being mentioned in the second schedule of this Act. According to Section 7A, tribunals, the appropriate government by notification in the official gazette constitute one or more industrial tribunals for the adjudication of industrial disputes relating to any matter whether specified in the second schedule or the third schedule and for performing such other functions as may be assigned to them under this act. So, as we have spoken about labor courts, similarly we have tribunals. Say industrial tribunals. So, when we talk about industrial tribunals, these tribunals are restricted to specific types of industries. Now, say for example, steel industry. So, there may be a steel industry tribunal. So, this industrial tribunal will be only looking after all those disputes arising in that steel industry. So, similarly, we may have different kinds of industrial tribunal. Now, proceedings, the procedures, the mechanism, all that, the list of industries which will be covered under this are all mentioned in Schedule 2 as well as Schedule 3 of this Act. A tribunal shall consist of one person only to be appointed by the appropriate government. So, now in this tribunal, the person will be empowered with, passing on with awards. Awards are the final judgment made by this authority. So, that may be selected by the appropriate government. According to Section 7B, national tribunals are being set up, on the national level when the dispute is concerned with more than one state of affairs, then it is taken care of by the national tribunals. The central government may by notification in the official gazette constitute one or more national industrial tribunals for the adjudication of industrial disputes which in the opinion of central government involve question of national importance or are such a nature that industrial establishments situated in more than one state are likely to be interested in or affected by the dispute. So, we have spoken about industrial tribunals which are being formed to take care of disputes arising in certain industries. But now we have national industrial tribunals for those type of industrial dispute which will affect the overall economy. Or the other criteria is the industrial dispute and the operations of the industry may be in several states and this will affect the interest of employees in the several state will be taken care of by national tribunals. Section 9C of this Act, every industrial establishment employing 20 or more workmen shall have one or more grievance redressal committee for the resolution of dispute arising out of individual grievances. So, now we should not disturb labor courts, industrial tribunals and national tribunals on and off for resolving minor disputes or say individual disputes. So, the recommendation was being passed that there should be some internal setup which will take care of the disputes arising in particular department or individual grievance, I will say. So, for this purpose, Section 9C has imposed a restriction on the employer to set up such a grievance committee who will address the grievances of the employees. But then this is applicable only to those establishments where 20 or more workmen are being hired. So, any establishment voluntary attempts to make such committees, it is allowed. But any establishment cannot escape of making this committee if they have hired more than 20 workers. The grievance redressal committee shall consist of equal number of members from the employer and the workmen. The chairperson of the grievance redressal committee shall be selected from the employer and among the workmen alternatively on rotational basis every year. So, here we give a chance to the employee member or representative to act as a chairman and also here we give a chance to management representative to act as a chairman. But on rotational basis that will be every year. Power of labor court to give appropriate relief. Labor Court, Industrial Tribunal can modify the punishment of dismissal or discharge of workmen and give appropriate relief, including reinstatement, according to Section 11A. So now here when we talk about, say, labor courts and tribunals, they are in a powerful position to modify, amend the punishment for any grievance material or dismissal, and some relief will be given according to the judgment which is being passed by the labor court or the tribunals. Persons bound by settlement. When in the course of conciliation proceedings, etc., all person working or joining subsequently, otherwise then in course of settlement upon the parties to the settlement. Now see, the settlement may arise through the conciliation proceedings, that is internal in nature, wherein the third party, that is conciliation officer, try to negotiate and bring certain settlements between two parties. So now say we will take an example to understand this. Now say, for example, there was a dispute among the employer and employee, say for example, number of leaves. So the number of leaves offered were say 20 in a year, but then employee says that it should be minimum 30 in a year. Now they both have gone through conciliation proceedings and both have negotiated and come to a common point that it will be 25 in a year, and now they have settled on this dispute. So now anybody or any worker who joins later after this conciliation proceedings, but then this settlement, what is being settlement which is being accepted by both the parties, will be binding on all the other persons joining after this. Settlement about the parties to the settlement. Notice of change. 21 days by an employer to workmen about the changing the conditions of service as provided in the schedule, in the fourth schedule. So here a notice has to be issued. Whatever the changes are being made through the proceedings, within the 20 days of such proceedings, whatever the changes are being made has to be communicated. Right of a workman during pendency of the proceedings in High Court. Now, whenever we have taken such proceedings to a large next stage till High Court, the proceedings will take time. So, it will be pending, and that particular period wherein these proceedings are taking place, there will be some rights of workmen. Employer to pay last drawn wages to reinstate workmen when proceedings challenging the award of his reinstatement are pending in the High Court. So, till the time the proceedings are being continued, the worker will be entitled to the payment of wages which he has drawn last before such inquiries or proceedings. Period of operations of settlement and awards. A settlement for a period as agreed by the parties, or period of 6 months on signing, an award for 1 year after its enforcement. Now here when we are talking about two things, one is settlement which is arrived through mutual consultations and negotiations. So whatever the settlement has arrived out of it, which is being agreed by the parties, so that has to be for the period of 6 months on signing of the settlement. That means the agreement both parties have agreed to. And if we talk about say the decisions which were binding on both the parties, that is award, so that for that it is 1 year after its enforcement. Prior permission for layoff. When there are more than 100 workmen during proceeding 12 months in any establishment, if there were 100 workers working in the establishment in the due course of 12 months, then prior permission for layoff has to be taken. Layoff and payment of compensation conditions for laying off. As we have discussed that though the layoff may be very genuine in nature, but then employee is at a stake because their wages are being affected. So in that case, some amount has to be paid to the employees or workers. When the layoffs are called as fair layoffs or legal layoffs. So all these provisions are mentioned under this Act. Failure, refusal or inability of an employer to provide work due to shortage of coal, power or raw material, accumulation of stocks, there is too much of stock and there is no demand in the market. There is no need for the production. So in that case, the layoffs are considered to be fair. Breakdown of machinery, if any, natural calamities, if any. So all these are mentioned under Section 25C of this Act. Layoff compensation. So whenever the employer has declared a layoff, what will be the compensation paid by him? Payment of wages except for intervening weekly holiday compensation, 50% of the total or basic wages and DA for a period of layoff up to maximum 45 days in a year. So the compensation amount would be based on basic wages and the owner's allowance, and that would not cross the limit of 45 days in a year. Prohibition of strikes and lockouts. So when we talk about prohibition of strikes and lockouts, strikes are being carried out by the trade unions and the employees or workers working in an industry, and lockouts are generally declared by the employer. So here when we talk about prohibition of strikes and lockouts, this act has spoken about what is legal strikes and illegal strikes. So there is a prohibition or restriction on going on illegal strikes. So all those illegal strikes will not be enjoying the privileges and will not be getting the benefits of what all illegal legal strikes will be benefiting. And then there would be some punishments and proceedings if the lockouts are called to be illegal. Prior permission by the government for retrenchment. So as I have spoken to you about retrenchment, retrenchment is a situation arise due to shutdown in a particular unit or maybe a particular department, not a industry or establishment as a whole. So prior permission has to be taken by the government for retrenchment. But in which case? When there are more than 100 in up to 300 or more. So minimum when there are 100 or up to 300 or more people getting affected due to this retrenchment in preceding 12 months. Prohibition of unfair labor practices. Now when we talk about labor practices, it talks about everything that is say minimum wages, then number of working hours, leaves, policies, etc. So when these are not followed on the regular basis, it is considered to be an offense. Closure of an undertaking. When we talk about closure, we are shutting down the unit or establishment due to whatsoever reason. Maybe it is a loss making unit, the incapability of the employer to continue its business. So how the workers in this case will be treated, what notice period should be served, how much wage or compensation has to be paid under such situations are being discussed in this provision. Retrenchment of workmen compensation and condition. So when we talk about retrenchment, how they will be compensated, we need to first identify the genuineness of retrenchment, whether it is required or not. Certain prior notice period has to be served, notice has to be given to the workmen who are supposed to be affected through this retrenchment. Then what are the conditions, listed conditions wherein retrenchment is allowed? And what type of compensation will be paid to the workers, all is mentioned in this provision. Now, when employer or establishment is not complying with the provisions which are being mentioned in this act, they are supposed to be considered as offenses. And under such situations, there are some penalties which may be monetary or that may be punishment in nature. So what all the offenses are and what all will be the punishment given for that are all mentioned under the Section 25. So somewhere we come to understand through this that when we talk about Industrial Disputes Act, both it is providing us the precautionary measures, and if at all the dispute has arise, then what all mechanism, what all machineries will be set up within the industry to resolve the grievances or disputes, and if we fail to attend at a settlement, what are the authorities that are being set up which will be external, that is outside the industry, to investigate into the dispute and to, you know, identify whether who is fair and who is unfair, and pass a judgment which is known as award and which may be binding on both the parties. Thank you very much.